The sound world is mysterious, and we're drawn into Stanley Kubrick's film from the opening evocation of infinite space in 2001, A Space Odyssey. And from the skies we'll travel to Earth and encounter humankind in its unfolding in the film. Similarly, from the mystery of the heavens, or perhaps in this case, heaven, we are drawn to Earth in a purely musical journey by a contemporary composer who has been immersed in the sound world created for movies, having studied film composition and scoring at the University of Southern California, written a number of scores for short films as well. Olajelo describes the opening movement titled Spheres of his Sunrise Mass for choir and string orchestra as floating in space, in deep silence, between stars and planets. The choir and orchestra enter, each singing a single syllable from the Kyrie text, taking over from each other with another syllable of the same or a different word. The two choirs weave under and over each other, the entries dovetailing, sometimes creating a deliberate dissonance as they overlap. And Yellow says, there isn't anything wrong with dissonance, as conflict and discord is a natural part of life and necessary for all positive development and maturation. And in most areas of society, conflict is something we very much want to resolve. But in a great deal of avant-garde art, the goal seems to be to stay in the conflict itself, which to me becomes a way of just inflicting the listeners with our own neurosis. Dissonance and high chromaticism is important to explore. The modernists were brave to delve into parts of the psyche that are dark and edgy, but I do think they got stuck somewhere in that. A lot of art pushed audiences away for some time. I think people naturally and instinctively want to experience transcendence, resolution, and the feeling of redemption, joy, and peace that the resolving of discord can yield. Words of composer Olajelo, from Notes by Shulamit Hoffman for Viva la Musica. The Sunrise Mass for Choir and String Orchestra by Olajelo will be performed by the Susquehanna Valley Chorale under the direction of William Payne to open the season in a program titled Two Symphonic Masses, Past and Present, October 15th and 16th in Middleburg. The concert will begin with the Mass in G Major by Franz Schubert, a work from 1815, and the performance will feature nearly 100 singers and three soloists with a 24-piece string orchestra. WVIA's Fiona Powell had a chance to speak by phone with Susquehanna Valley Chorale music director and conductor William Payne about the concerts.
The first thing that crossed my mind when I looked at what you've got in this concert was, where do you begin? Where did you start with the Olajelo piece first and then build on that? How do you begin when you're planning this?
Well, that's a good question. Yes, actually, I wanted to do the Olajelo, and the orchestration is for strings only. And so I decided to just look at other pieces that would use strings rather than hiring instrumentalists that would just sit through half of a program. I thought it would be great to just have a string orchestra for the entire concert. And immediately Schubert came to mind. This is a work that is quite familiar to a lot of people who are familiar with choral music. And I just felt that the two really complemented each other so well. It's interesting because here we have two composers who are quite young in their compositional stage. Schubert was 18 when he wrote the Mass in G, and it's an amazing work considering his age, really imaginative. And Ola was 30 when he wrote Sunrise Mass. So relatively speaking, they're both very young. composers. And so that kind of drew me to both of them as well. And then I thought, well, we've got a mass, a symphonic mass from the past, and we've got a symphonic mass from the present. And they just fit together beautifully. And the chorus is really enjoying singing both of them, because you have that traditional sound with Schubert, and then you have this consonance versus dissonance with Ola Yalo, and it's just an amazing combination.
The thing that struck me about Ola Yalo's work was that it is a modern piece, but like many modern pieces, you get almost a reference back, don't you? A reference back to early music.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so much of the avant-garde 21st century, 20th century music seems to just relentlessly take you into a dissonant world, and it's very rare that you get out of it, and for some composers. And I think Ola goes the opposite. He uses dissonance in order to allow us to be relieved by the beauty of melody and sound. The name of the first movement is called The Spheres. And at rehearsal last night, I said to the chorus, just imagine that you're walking in space and the silence, you know, if you're an astronaut and you have that opportunity to walk in this darkness and silence among the stars. And that's exactly how this opening movement sounds. Some people have said it sounds like 2001 Space Odyssey, and in some ways it does. It's phenomenal the way he creates this mood.
It is. It actually took me back to walking on moorland and being around ancient circles. It had that almost spooky, but in the ethereal sense.
Absolutely. Very transparent. And then he takes that same theme that's elongated in the first 50 measures or so, and then he has the orchestra do an interlude, and then he brings that same theme back with a full, very rich chorus singing the Kyrie Eleison. It's absolutely stunning.
You have a lot of voices singing this, though, don't you?
We do. We have 98 singers. And you never have too many, but for these words, I'm very thrilled, because there seems to be a real surge of interest singing with the Susquehanna Valley Chorale. And last year was our 45th anniversary, and we had record crowds for all of our performances.
These pieces need that many voices. What happens if you don't have that many voices? Does it just fall flat? You must have those voices?
I think the Schubert can be done with a very small ensemble. In fact, I've done the Schubert with 30 voices and a string quartet. But I think Ola's piece, The Sunrise Mass, really requires a large chorus. I had the opportunity to conduct his Sunrise Mass, which is why I wanted the Susquehanna Valley Chorale to really find out about this piece. I had the opportunity to conduct it at Smetana Hall in Prague and in the Mozarteum in Salzburg. And the audiences went absolutely wild with this piece. They just loved it. But I had a 24-piece string orchestra and an 80-voice choir that I was conducting. And I think you need that size, the lushness of that many singers for Ola's work. It's very dramatic. I mean, there's some parts that just take your breath away. And so the large chorus helps to make that.
But I can imagine that one of the challenges of that is in rehearsal. That must be very challenging where you've got all those voices.
Sure, it is. And especially that very opening, the spheres, it's actually split into 8 parts in order for that ethereal, transparent sound to happen. And so rehearsing that takes some time. And then just for them to kind of begin to understand what they're trying to create. But it's a fun challenge for me.
It's because you can't sing a piece like that without knowing what you're singing about, can you?
No, you can't. You can't. And Ola describes it as kind of a journey from childhood to adulthood. And I can see where he's coming from. You know, he starts and just this facial kind of feeling that he has at the beginning, birth, perhaps, metaphorically. But then he goes into another movement called Sunrise. So we're at the horizon and finally the city where there's all this hubbub and everything. And then we come to the end of our life. We're more grounded. And the name of the last movement is called The Ground. And so that's fascinating. And the final movement is absolutely exquisite. I wish that I'd written it. It's so beautiful.
The Susquehanna Valley Chorale, in recent years, at least for as long as I have been enjoying your concerts, you frequently highlight contemporary composers. Has that always been the case? Is that part of a philosophy? Is that just happenstance?
It's always been the philosophy of the Susquehanna Chorale. I think each conductor that has worked with the chorale brings their own thoughts about how much new music they want to present. For me, I think you know, you've seen my pattern now. I like to start the year with a traditional piece. Last year we started with Elijah. In coming seasons we're going to be doing Brahms and Haydn. But in the spring, I always usually try to find something that's maybe a little more provocative that makes one think. And a lot of times that's when I go into the contemporary composers and look at new works. Interestingly enough, now this year I've coupled the traditional with the Schubert with Olaj's new work. So it's a little different this year. So it's fun.
I would imagine that although that's a wonderful thing to do, there are a lot of people who are a little bit scared almost, a little bit leery of living composers. They don't think they're going to like it.
Oh, I know. And that's why times like this are so important, when we can talk one-on-one and people hear us discussing a piece of music and know that it's going to be accessible. And we try to get that word out. I'm just not into the avant-garde kind of scene, and I don't think many of our members would be, or our listeners. You have to go with what your particular area is going to enjoy. And yet, our audiences have consistently enjoyed the new works that I've brought to them. And we're doing some interesting concerts coming up, too, which involve new music.
You've had to change venues for this concert just because of the sheer size of the chorale.
We did, yes. And I'm kind of thrilled about this because I was very sad that we had to change our venue. We're going to be at Midwest High School, and this is a brand new auditorium, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It seats over 800 people. I went in and checked it out 3 weeks ago, and the acoustics are very nice. There's plenty of room for a 98-voice choir and 24-piece orchestra, so I'm thrilled. It's like a concert hall, and I think the Midwest school system should be very proud of what they have. And I hope that we can attract a lot of people from that part of the county. Our original venue was in Sealands Grove, and Midwest High School is only 9 miles west of Sealands Grove, so it's just another 10-minute drive to get there. So I hope that it will not discourage people from coming to our concert. That it's going to be an incredible event, and I look forward to conducting it, and I know the chorus is totally enjoying both of them.
William Payne, music director and conductor of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, speaking with WVIA's Fiona Powell about the opening concerts of the 2016-2017 season, a pair of concerts in a program titled Two Symphonic Masses, Past and Present, Saturday, October 15th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 16th at 3 p.m. at Midwest High School Auditorium, 540 East Main Street, Middleburg. Midwest High School Auditorium, 540 East Main Street in Middleburg. And again, this is a change of location because of the large number of singers participating in the performances. And for more information about the opening concerts of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale 2016-2017 season, Two Symphonic Masses, Past and Present, Saturday, October 15th at 7:30 p.m., Sunday, October 16th at 3 p.m., and that's svcmusic.org, svcmusic.org. The concert will feature the Mass in G Major from 1815 by Franz Schubert and the Sunrise Mass by Norwegian composer Ola Yalo. WVIA's Fiona Powell had a chance to speak as well with composer Ola Yalo about his life in music.
I grew up in Norway, where I lived until I was about 23. So that was my whole upbringing. And I started writing choral music when I was about 19, I think, right after high school. And then I moved to the States in 2001 to go to the Juilliard School and study composition there. And I've lived in the States pretty much ever since, except for a couple of years in London when I studied at the Royal College of Music. But this is very much my home now. And I've lived in New York for a few years now and just work as a full-time freelance composer. And a lot of what I do is choral music, which has always been a great passion of mine. And the other thing I do a lot also is piano. It's kind of my other thing that I do a lot. I love writing for a piano and playing the piano, especially improvisation. So yeah, on YouTube, you'll definitely find a lot of choral videos and also a lot of piano videos. And the other thing I love to do is recording. So I have two piano albums out called Stone Rose, and the other one is called Piano Improvisations, which is basically a whole album of just free improvisation. And I have two choral albums. The first one is called Northern Lights, which is an album with the Phoenix Chorale. And the most recent one was my first album on the Decca label, which just came out this year, called Ola Yalo. Which has some wonderful choirs in it too, with Tenor Bray from London and Voice of Eight, also from London.
Why was a young, aspiring musician in Norway inspired to go to Juilliard and the Royal Academy?
I love Norway and it's an incredibly beautiful place. It's always very close to my heart, but I always knew I wanted to be somewhere in a big city, you know, somewhere where there were a lot of things happening, a lot of opportunities, you know, a lot of people, you know, in my field. And so New York and London, of course, are among the biggest and has incredible artistic activity. But of course, when I got into Juilliard, it's also kind of a special thing to the to it and to the name, and I just had to try it. I'd never been to America before I came to Juilliard, so it was just sort of an adventure I had to go on, and I immediately fell in love with the country and the culture, and I really felt at home in New York, and so that's where I've been on and off ever since. And I had two wonderful years in London after Juilliard, which I also loved. Had a great time there. But I did end up in New York because it feels like my hometown, you know.
Tell us a little bit about your work in choral music. When did you start developing that interest? Was it always an interest in you, even as a child, or was this a later interest?
No, I think it started kind of early. My father was a good amateur musician, and he would play so much music in the house. Cassettes, and eventually when CDs came, some of the first albums he got were choral albums. One of them was, well, The Messiah, I think, with Joan Elliott Gardner, and then one of them was Christmas Carols from King's College, and which is still one of my, with one of Wilcox, Sir David Wilcox album, which is still one of my absolute favorite albums. Ever since then, I've always gravitated towards choral music. Especially, I love also the combination with choral and orchestra, which is kind of the ultimate palette for me, I think, in terms of writing music, to have both voices and an instrument together, well, which my Sunrise Mass has that will be performed soon. But yeah, that's something I've always been into. So when I finally had my first classical composition teacher, which wasn't actually until I was, about 19, that's what we started with, and I sort of just stayed a lot in that area.
What are some of the challenges of composing a choral piece?
The challenges are similar, I think, but of course, having, you know, the text, of course, is a presence that you don't deal with in instrumental music. So that certainly adds a component to it. But I think one of the challenges is just to write well for the voice, which is a very sensitive instrument and has to be written for in certain ways for it to work and to be comfortable and not, you know, quite as agile, as a violin. Or so you have to be very mindful, and it really helped me to sing in a choir myself. I think I was a tenor for a few years, and starting in college, and sung in the Oslo Philharmonic Choir and things like that, and for a while, and that really helped me to get a feel for the range of the voices and for what feels good and what feels awkward. So that's a very big part of it.
When you go to compose a piece like Sunrise Mass, do you begin with a text that inspires you again, or does it vary depending upon the piece that you're doing?
Well, for the Sunrise Mass, of course, it's always the same text because it's the set. Well, not always these days, since people add other things to it and things like that. But generally, it's either the regular Mass text in Latin or English in our case. And I always wanted this set, a Mass. It was something I wanted to do for a while, and then this commission came up in 2007, I think. And so I finished it in 2008. And so, yeah, that definitely starts with the text and sort of creating a form out of that. But I also had a kind of a separate idea for this particular Mass as well that didn't quite come from the words, but more of a musical kind of direction of the Mass, in that I wanted to start the Mass very kind of nebulous, like in kind of floating in space kind of feeling. And then as the Mass goes on, it becomes more and more tangible, more and more romantic, and eventually more dramatic, and in the end, peaceful, kind of earth-like. So I wanted this kind of journey from heaven to earth, so to speak, and to really feel that the Mass is a kind of a journey that really that takes you somewhere from where you were when you started.
Is it a challenge, though, to set a Mass which, after all of the Masses have been done by incredible composers? That would be challenging, wouldn't it? That feeling of being yourself, not referencing them, yet climbing that wall, I would think, of all the great composers, trying to sort of find something new to say.
Well, not really. I mean, because I wouldn't really think about that at all, because then you just go crazy. Yeah, you're right. I mean, certainly the Mass texts have been set, you know, countless times by the greatest composers that ever lived. So you can't really think about that at all, because then it just drive you crazy. But I really just kind of treated it like as any other piece I write, and just write it in my own way and just kind of what feels good to me, regardless of whether it's a Mass text or it's a Walt Whitman poem. So I kind of treated it like any other piece I would write, and just wanting to write something that's beautiful and that hopefully will touch people in a meaningful way.
And perhaps when looking at the words, you almost give them a fresh eye, look at them anew, maybe look at them differently.
Yes, I think so, although still not necessarily in a conscious way that I try to do anything original or different, because it's easy to kind of get stuck in that, like when you try to be original, and it's often harder to be original, if you know what I mean. Because you become too conscious of it. So I try not to think about that too much, but just kind of do whatever comes from my heart as purely as possible, and not let my kind of calculations of thoughts kind of get in the way of that too much. I think that's the most easiest way to be original in a way, if you don't try to be, if you know what I mean.
Sunrise Mass was a commissioned piece?
Yes, it was. It was commissioned by two chamber choirs from Oslo, Norway, that wanted to go together and form a bigger choir to commission like a large-scale work. This piece is about 32 minutes long, I think.
I don't know if you know about the Susquehanna Valley Chorale program. I'm assuming you do, but it's going to be next to the Mass in G Major by Schubert. It's going to be quite a concert.
That is a wonderful pairing. Yeah, I'm honored. I really wish I could be there. That would have been really wonderful. There's so much choral activity in Pennsylvania. It's amazing. So I've been there quite a lot in previous years, working with other choirs. So, and I always love going there. So that would be wonderful.
What are some of your inspirations?
Oh, there are so many. It's hard to say. I have a very eclectic musical taste, I think, or what I love to listen to, and it probably comes from where I grew up. My father would play all kinds of music, from pop to jazz to classical, chorus, choral, and folk music. So I love to listen to a lot of things that specifically inspired my own music. I think a lot of it, especially later years, has been film composers. I think some of the greatest composers that are working today are working in film and in Hollywood. People like, of course, John Williams, but also people like Thomas Newman, Dario Marinelli, Alexander Desplat. Those are composers that really inspired me, and I just really love their music a lot. And other than sort of outside of classical, I'm definitely inspired by some jazz players like Pat Metheny and Keith Jarrett that have inspired certainly my own playing a lot. But of course, you know, especially growing up, I was very inspired by Bach and all the masters and chants, Gregorian chants for sure. And which you can hear, I think, more in my earlier pieces, maybe. Not quite as much in the Sunrise Mass, but I think the Sunrise Mass has some... It has a lot of cinematic kind of influences. There's a lot of cinematic sounding parts to that piece that you'll probably recognize.
In years to come, down the road, when you and I are no longer here, you're a Norwegian composer who lives in America. Do you think that people will hear you and hear the sound of Norway, or will they hear the sound of America, or will they hear a mix, or neither?
I'm not sure. It's hard for me to tell. Like I always figured my music has a sort of American sound to it, but some people say that they can hear kind of a Nordic element in it as well. So it's kind of hard for me to hear it exactly what it is. But probably a mix. But certainly most of the composers that really inspire me have mostly been American and British as well. So I would say it sounds more American, maybe, but I can't tell for sure.
Well, is there anything that you want to talk about your piece that I haven't asked you, or your work or your inspiration that I haven't asked you that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I think if people want to check out the piece before it, they go to the concert and get to know it and see if they like it even. They can find it on iTunes and Spotify and play it on your computer or online. So I just type Sunrise Mass and Ola Yalo, and it'll come up.
You have a website, haven't you?
Yes, my website is simply olajalo.com, spelled olajeilo.com. So yeah, you'll find everything there, including everything about the Mass as well.
Composer Ola Yalo speaking with WVIA's Fiona Powell in anticipation of the performance of his Sunrise Mass for Choir and String Orchestra from 2008 as part of the opening concerts of the 2016-2017 season of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale under the direction of William Payne, Saturday, October 15th, that's at 7:30 p.m., and again Sunday, October 16th at 3 in the afternoon, at Midwest High School Auditorium, 540 East Main Street in Middleburg. Again, this is a change of location because of the large number of singers participating in the performances. The two works to be featured, the Mass in G Major, 1815 is a Year, by Franz Schubert, and the Sunrise Mass by Ola Yalo. It's svcmusic.org for more information, www.svcmusic.org, or Ola Yalo's own website, Ola, O-L-A, and Yalo is spelled G-J-E-I-L-O, olajalo.com. It's a pair of concerts to open the Susquehanna Valley Chorale 2016-2017 season, almost 100 singers, a 24-piece string orchestra, and three soloists. The program is titled Two Symphonic Masses, Past and Present. Saturday, October 15th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, October 16th at 3 p.m. at Midwest High School Auditorium, 540 East Main Street in Middleburg. For more information, on the web, svcmusic.org, svcmusic.org.